Good morning. Turkey's former Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been sworn in as the country's new leader following his victory in the August 10 presidential elections. In his inauguration speech, Erdogan reiterated his ambition to transform the largely ceremonial post of president into a powerhouse. That has sent shockwaves down the spines of journalists looking back at his 10-year premiership as the darkest era in the life of the country's press. Bahsin Yinask is opinion editor at Hurriyet Daily News. She joins us now from Istanbul. Bahsin, good morning to you.
Thank you.
Can you begin by sharing your thoughts with us about the feelings going through your mind as President Erdogan extends his firm grip over power in your country?
Well, certainly it's going to be another challenging period for all of us because we know that Erdogan wants to be a very active president. He is going to force the limits of the authority of the president.
There are close to 300 journalists, according to some sources, who have been dismissed by their media houses during Erdogan's decade-long tenure as Prime Minister of Turkey. Is that correct?
Well, I can definitely testify to the fact that a lot of my colleagues have lost their jobs during the course of the past decade. Some new people have joined the ranks of journalists, but the senior journalists who've been doing these jobs for a long time, a lot of them lost their jobs. They had to quit the profession and do something else, yes.
Some ended up in prison. Why is that?
Well, as far as the numbers are concerned, we have to separate two issues. The journalists who are mostly in prison are accused of being terror activities, and mostly they are of Kurdish origin. So the journalists who are criticizing the government do not end up in prison. There are cases.
Would it be right to say there's a new phenomenon in journalism introduced in Turkey called ideological cleansing?
Well, the main problem in Turkey is that a number of businessmen who are known to be close to the prime minister have been pressurized to enter the business of journalism. So some of the businessmen close to the prime minister ended up being owners of newspapers or television channels. Right now, the ratio of those owning newspapers and TV stations that are close to the government is pretty high.
Which is, I suppose, responsible for the irony that most of the attempts to silence the press is by owners of the private so-called independent press, not the state-owned media.
Well, certainly the press that consider itself independent or not pro-government rather tend to be shy, tend to stay neutral, which requires some kind of self-censorship. Therefore, there is a mechanism among the press of being very attentive when they report about government activities.
So that is the cynical tool the government uses against owners of the private press?
Well, as far as using a tool is concerned, when it comes to private press, is the tax issues. Whenever there is a press outlet, the government ends up seeing tax investigations against the newspapers or against other economic outlets of the owner of the paper that have been critical of the government. So one of the tools that has been used by the government against those who have been slightly critical has been tax fines.
Campaigns calling on the GDP to keep its hands off the media are now being waged on the ground or online on Twitter and Facebook, to be more specific. How are they maneuvering to elude Turkey's harsh censorship laws at this moment?
Well, there is still a lively participation in the social media, but obviously in order not to be subjected to any legal procedures, people are trying to refrain from insults or accusations that can lead to legal cases. So while social media participation continues, obviously there is always a sense of being very careful, of course, because the authorities are very sensitive and they are sort of following what is being posted on the social media.
Bahsin Yinask, opinion editor of Hurriyet Daily News, on the line from Istanbul. Thank you so much for speaking to Radio France International.
Thank you.